The Jerry Bader Show.
All right, Earl and I are going to need a confab on something here. 841-1360-97.5 WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. Oh, my stupid. Shut up. That was my laptop. Well, that's the story that you heard talking from my laptop. That's what we need a confab on. We don't need a confab on whether I'm too stupid to turn down my laptop. I think we've established that on the air just now. However, CNN Money has a story, and I'm trying to decide if this means we were both wrong, or is one CNN Money story enough to prove us wrong? Here's the CNN Money story that posted almost exactly an hour ago. Without a winner, Powerball jackpot keeps on climbing. A $348 million jackpot is up for grabs on Wednesday night. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I guess that makes two of us. Anyway, now, Earl and I had predicted at what point the media would become interested in the Powerball jackpot in the wake of a better than $1.5 billion jackpot a couple of drawings ago. Earl said $500 million-ish. I said $750. In other words, given what happened with the $1.6 billion or whatever it was and all the attention that generated, what is it going to take to get the media's attention this time? I don't know if this single story counts as media attention, though. Here's what happened with the $1.6 billion. I can't say last time because it wasn't the last drawing. There's been a smaller winner. I started noticing at $300 million, and I said, nobody's noticing the Powerball jackpot, and it's $300 million. The print edition of the local paper had a front page story at $400 million. So I dubbed that the official moment that the media was paying attention to the Powerball jackpot. Now, what do you think, Earl? Obviously, I'm not objective. I want to be right about this. So my inclination would be to say this doesn't count as the media officially paying attention. It's an online story at CNN Money. Not even officially CNN. Yes, that $400 million headline was huge. Huge. Kind of like somebody's win in Indiana last night. Huge. Earl says doesn't count. Let's put it this way. If this is the only thing we see, I'm going to agree. How about if we do this? I don't think we're wrong yet. Earl says if I posted it on Facebook, it would count. In other words, yeah, I see what you're saying. Does me talking about it count? I have a radio show. I'm going to say no at this point that we're not wrong yet. You know, where the media's, borderline obsessing. You know what I mean. Speaking of being wrong, it's interesting. I have not gotten a lot of in-your-face email from Trump supporters with the developments of last night, but the few that I have the same theme. See, you were wrong. You were wrong. Oh, channel. Now, we're getting. All right. A listener is telling Earl that WBAY TV has done a story. I would assume that's about tonight's drawing. Did they say they saw it on television? Okay, they saw it on TV. Wow. Then I would have to say I'm surprised. I don't know. Anyway. It's interesting, the emails that I've gotten, the gloating emails, the very few that I've gotten from Trump supporters are, you were wrong. I'm going to get to this later in the show. My position on Donald Trump was never a prediction that he wasn't going to win the nomination. That he has managed apparently to win the nomination doesn't make me wrong about anything. Only time will tell if I am right that Donald Trump is the god-awful candidate that I've said he is. I never predicted he wouldn't win the nomination. But that was the thing. You were wrong. See, how did that work out for you? It's not done yet. I voted for him, and I'm not going to vote for him. The task now, and this is when, and we're not going to get to this in earnest until 10 o'clock. Reince Priebus tweeted out yesterday that it's time for Republican leaders around the country to get in line behind Donald Trump. We have to support the nominee. Reince Priebus can't make that happen. You know who can make that happen? One person can make that happen. Donald Trump. The only person that can make that happen is Donald Trump. He's the only one who can get those who have said they won't support him to support him. He has to show that he can earn their support. But what Trump supporters seem to believe is we are now supposed to fall in line and be good little foot soldiers with the establishment. The very thing that they liked about Donald Trump, now that he is establishment, and he is, by being the party standard bearer, that's we are now supposed to fall in line. No, he's going to have to earn that never Trump vote, or as much of it as he can. I'll get to that later in the show. We'll do that after 10 o'clock, and we will take calls on that, obviously, because this is a major moment. John Kasich isn't getting out of the race. Whatever. Ted Cruz did. I was surprised that Cruz pulled the plug. Obviously, he sees no way to deprive Donald Trump of 1237. So, more on that later in the show. I don't say I want to start because I've done about three different things. I want to take the rest of the time in this segment to discuss a local story. And I want to address a friend who it appears got some bad advice. As one who has stepped in it in the public eye, and I've said this before, as one who has stepped in it in the public eye, the most important thing you can do is admit you have done something wrong. Don't say any more about it than you have to, then you've done something wrong, and go away. Which is what I did. And except for the occasional Googles, I have survived it. I'm doing just fine. It's a long time ago. Time has passed. I admitted I was an idiot. And I was, and that was that. I'm referring to the story involving Alderman Chris Weary. Chris is a friend. Just before the spring elections, where Chris was seeking re-election, and he was being challenged by Debbie Jacques. Just before the election, Jacques held a news conference saying that Chris Weary inappropriately accessed two of her personal bank accounts at Associated Bank, where he was a contract employee. Chris Weary neither admitted or denied guilt in this matter. He completely, in a statement, sidestepped whether he in fact did those things. This story, even though Chris Weary, by a roughly 2-to-1 margin, defeated Jacques for re-election, has not gone away. There are two developments. One, Weary is now being sued by Debbie Jacques, again accusing Weary of unlawfully accessing two of her accounts at Associated Bank and then using the information to try to discredit her with the State Elections Oversight Board. The suit claims Weary invaded Jacques' personal privacy and interfered with her right to keep personal information confidential. It seeks financial compensation for damages in an amount to be determined at trial. Jacques also requested a restraining order to prevent Weary from using her personal and financial information, which Jacques claims Weary still possesses. Weary previously said, this was his statement when this came up just before the election, said he complained to the state elections officials because he believed Jacques had exceeded her campaign spending limits and that she was and was hiding where she was obtaining her campaign financing. Jacques' campaign was initially registered as exempt from needing to file campaign finance reports. Why? Because if you stay under $2,000 in a calendar year, you needn't report. Well, she went over that, and then she changed her campaign's registration when she filed for her March campaign spending report. Further, in addition to the lawsuit, she's filed a complaint with the city, which will be the first test of its code of conduct policy for city officials. Its personal conduct policy for elected officials, I should say. The city's attorney has received an ethics complaint, writes Fox 11, from former city council candidate Debbie Jacques against her former opponent Chris Weary. It comes one day after Jacques filed a civil lawsuit against Weary. New court records show Associated Bank told Jacques last month that Weary inappropriately accessed two of her personal bank accounts. Last month, Weary defeated her 68-32%. It came despite Jacques holding a press conference the Friday before the election. That's when Jacques first accused Weary of using his temporary employment with Associated Bank to access her bank accounts. In the court affidavit, Jacques provided copies of emails from Associated Bank. In one email, a senior employee states an internal investigation indicated a contract employee inappropriately viewed information from Jacques' accounts. The associated employee who wrote the bank took immediate action to remove the contract employee from assignment with Associated Bank. Jacques's the initial goal of the lawsuit is to protect her personal information. I want my personal information protected, said Jacques. What we do after that, I don't know. Before Tuesday night's city council meeting, Weary declined to talk about the lawsuit. However, before the election, then they mentioned his statement again. Now, she also says she believes it may have cost her the election. Well, she lost by a 2-1 margin. I'm not going to get into that. More than a 2-1 margin, actually. So I'm not going to get into that. Chris Weary has never confirmed or denied. He has never admitted guilt or denied guilt. It would be hard to reach any other conclusion other than the one that Chris Weary did this. Chris is a friend. If somebody advised Chris to not say whether he did this, they gave him really rotten advice. Really rotten advice. Let me say that one more time. Really rotten advice. If Chris Weary did this, he should have said so immediately. If Chris Weary didn't do this, he should have said, that's outrageous. I didn't do this. The non-denial denial, and it wasn't even really that, before the election, was sure to linger after the election, which it now has. If Chris Weary did this, I believe not only the smart, but the right thing to do would have been to admit it and take your chances with the voters. And I have to be honest with you, the evidence does seem overwhelming that he did it. And if he did do it and he didn't think it was going to go away, he was just naive. And I believe that is the product of some very bad counsel that he received. So I don't know how it plays out from here. If Chris Weary did this, this is the type of thing that a personal, however you felt about the conduct policy, and you know how I felt about it if you listen to the show, I felt it was wordy and unnecessary to the degree that it goes. And it was, in fact, targeted at a select person. But this, if Chris did this, the fact that it's not going away, I think he brought on himself. I have two policies about friends. I stand by friends, but I kick them in the crotch, figuratively speaking, when I think they've screwed up. I'm trying to do both here. But this, just by not being definitive, no, I did not do this. Yes, I did do this, and I have to accept the consequences. Whichever is the truth, it should have been put out there, and it should have been put out there when this came to light. And that is the voice of experience talking. By the way, digressing to one other Trumpian thing, and we're going to talk about presidential politics after 10 o'clock. What Donald Trump did on Monday, parroting a National Enquirer story that Ted Cruz's father is in a photo with Oswald shortly before the JFK assassination, is lunatic stuff. Lunatic stuff. Yeah, there's that National Enquirer friend of his again. Here's the question. Did he feed this to them? Did they run it? And then here, Donald, you run with it? Mark Levin went nuts on this last night. He just went nuts. The Fox and Friends actually tried to give credibility, or the Five, maybe it was the Five, tried to give credibility to it. Well, you know, when it's absurd, it is crazy tinfoil hat stuff. And this is the guy that now has to persuade conservatives who think he's a nut to vote for him. By the way, National Enquirer has another major story today concerning Donald Trump, that he's torn between two finalists for vice president, Elvis or Bigfoot. All right, coming up after 9 o'clock, he's still a war hero. I'll tell you who and why. It's 9 o'clock.
News, talk, sports.